Seeing none, we'll move to the first public comment on agenda items only. First public comment, agenda items only. You almost didn't make it. Go ahead.
Is this okay?
Please state your name and address and limit your comments. Try to limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Okay, I just have a couple questions. My name is Victoria Thrash. I'm at 10 Hoffman Road. I actually taught in the district for 6 years and had 2 children go through Clinton Township School District. I've actually taught a couple students from some of you. And a couple questions I have. First of all, I have to say, in all the times that I have come in the past and sat at board meetings, I am really impressed by the questions that are being asked by board members. You're really asking the right questions. I'm not sure that you're getting all the right answers or the correct answers, but you really are asking the right questions, and I just want to commend you for that. I guess, and pardon me if I'm out of order, but on page 6, I wanted to know there were some expensive programs, workshops, and the question I had was for, at the top where it says Julie Tepper, SRS, and German Castro. I just wanted to know what those members did at the school. Are they teachers? And then what is the workshop nonviolent crisis intervention program for?
Well, the fact that we have Mary McLaughlin, our Director of Special Services here, if you would like to answer that. Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes, some of our students require skip techniques to be performed on them, which is strategies for crisis intervention and prevention, which is non-violent crisis intervention. Typically, we hire someone to come in, and they have to come in 3 to 4 times to cover training all the staff that's necessary, teachers, assistants, and teachers. This is a program that's being offered at Morris Union, Georgia, and it's train the trainer. So now we will have 2 teachers that will be trained to train the staff so that we never have to have the person come in. We can do it with our own people. And they'll be certified. They just have to go yearly to remedial classes to keep their certification.
Thank you.
So there are 2 classroom teachers that are going for the same workshop. Okay, so then Julie Tepper and German Castro are classroom teachers.
Yes.
They're classroom teachers, okay. And then the other thing was, I'm not sure if the date at the bottom of that same page, there are several TAs that I noticed that the funding has been approved for their salaries, and this might just be my error misreading it, that it's 2010, 2011, but then towards the back, they've resigned. So,
can I speak to that?
Yes.
What that has to do with is at the end of the year, we have to allocate which aides are being paid for by IDEA funds. And we've done it in the beginning of the year sometimes, but then there's so much movement among TAs that we find it best to do at the end of the year. So this reflects the year we are ending's allocation of salaries to IDEA.
So you, at the end of the year, you allocated?
We've been doing it all along,
okay.
But this kind of like finalizes it.
Okay, and well, back to the workshop, I guess this might have something to do, the comment was brought up about the professional development, and I saw a lot of programs with that money, the ARA money. It does seem like there's a lot of programs being purchased, but the teachers don't get the development, so I don't know how that can be implemented or helped, maybe by director of curriculum, but they're just, it doesn't seem like there's any professional development. It's like, okay, here's the program, and then sink or swim, basically. I picked up on that, but that's been around for a long time. I don't think it's changed. I would hope that the board and the district would be moving forward. And then one last thing on the special services website. If you go to the district special services website and you click on special services and the contact information, there's a typo there. If we could just fix that, because instead of Clinton Township, it should be Clinton Township. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm a nervous wreck. I never talk, but I'm Janine Orico. You probably recognize the name, maybe. I just had a question about the enrichment at the middle school. Because I have a middle schooler. If you did have the enrichment teacher available more, how would you pull the kids out of the, for debate, for example? And also, could the enrichment teacher theoretically work later in the day to be after school instead of starting it in the morning, if you see what I'm saying?
Yes, actually, that was something that was put out there. Contractually, we could flex the day, mm-hmm. but we would have to you know, notify the parents and create it. Cost to us would be on transportation. If we're going to change the day, we'd have to transport those children home. We couldn't put that onus on the parent to come and pick up their children.
But it would be like a club. It would be like an after-school club. Like debate. Not, she, instead of
not pro- necessarily because of the way that we set up enrichment, which is something that we have to offer from, we have to show that we're differentiating for a child from kindergarten through eighth grade. And the way we do that is through enrichment teachers across the district. And so, some of the program that Mrs. Cormican does here is a push-in, where she teams up with other teachers, mm-hmm. as well as there is a pull-out component during the day, not only during Unified Arts, but during the STARS and lunch program in the middle of the day. What we had done this year was because the backfill that fitness position missing, she was not available to students for two periods because she was teaching one group of seventh graders and then another in a 36-day cycle.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just wondering, what did I'm not being adversarial either, but how would you use her time better? Like, I have an eighth grade daughter, say I want her to be in debate. How on earth can you have debate during the day?
Well, debate is actually falls right under our literacy program. When you think of literacy, okay. it's reading, writing, and listening, and speaking. Uh-huh. And sometimes those last two, we don't really hit as hard.
Right.
And with Mrs. Cormican's work this year, she really sees how she can grow this program and not only push in and work with the teachers so the enrichment doesn't just go to our gifted students, but all students have a chance. Those teachers could possibly run with it and see that debate could be something integral to a lot of the different programs that or instruction that they're doing, because that critical thinking comes out in debate.
But so, specifically, just the way the middle school is structured, like, would she have it first period, and then certain kids would always miss science, certain, you know what I'm
no,
saying?
No,
would you structure?
My understanding is that she does kind of a rolling.
Okay, so, that so it's rolling,
she,
okay.
She doesn't, you don't always miss out of your math period or out of your Unified Arts. But here in the middle school, really the pullout is for, say, band has always been Unified Arts. It's tied right into that. Whereas 4 through 6, it was not, and that's something Ms. Hammond's trying to work back towards. So it wouldn't be that impact to pull out on the core subjects. But what Mrs. Cormican envisions is that it's not a pull out from the core subjects, it's a push in that not only helps the enrichment students, but all children.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the committee reports, facilities and finance. Mark?
Okay, at our last full monthly meeting, we had a presentation on solar. At that time, we asked for feedback. Feedback has been extremely light. We have probably a dozen or so letters back, and several of them were from board members. So we don't have an awful lot of feedback from the public. However, what we do have was pretty consistent. There are a number of concerns with ground mounts. There are concerns with the canopies in the parking, alluding to aesthetics, safety, convenience, snow plowing, et cetera, pretty much echoing the issues that were raised here. Kevin had suggested, I think, that you know our roofs may in fact be in better shape than we thought, and I think the suggestion was that we go back and do a more in-depth analysis of the condition of the roofs. Obviously, we don't have enough data to know for sure what would or wouldn't be supported if we were to poll more of the public. But I think it would be safe to say that if we could put all these things on the roof, life would be a lot easier. Certainly, I don't think we had nobody coming back and complaining about solar in general or having it on the roof. It seems to me that anything on the ground or in the parking lot is going to result in some level of controversy. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We have to do further study. But I think the suggestion to go back and look at the roofs again makes an awful lot of sense. If we were able to put them there, we would really have no issues. So I would suggest that we find some way to do that. Do we need to get Gus back in?
He's actually part of the RFP. Actually, I'm sorry, the work that Mr. Sandabrino is doing for us.
Part of it
would be the engineer.
Okay, he's going to go and do all of that? Okay.
I thought I had reported back to that, yep. Yes. Mr. Okay. Sandabrino is moving forward with that.
He is moving forward. Okay, I didn't see that. All right, so that will delay us making any decisions, I suppose, and going any further until we have that. Next item, the land across the street. The committee has been, again, starting to look at what to do with that land. There was a meeting earlier this week between several of the members of the Finance and Facilities Committee. Myself and Mark made it to that meeting with Andrew Holt and some other stakeholders. Unfortunately, I can't say too much about that until we get into closed session because we have some legal issues regarding that land. That will all become more clear when we talk about it later this evening. But the bottom line is we are continuing to try to make something useful out of this land across the street, and hopefully we'll get that settled soon enough. The energy audit we already covered. The Finance and Facilities Committee will work with the administration and come up with some recommendations there. On line items, just calling your attention to items of interest. ARRA funds, which we already described, are item number 182. The Brinkerhoff proposal for testing is line item 185, and that now includes radon testing for all four schools. And that's it.
Do you want to move those items, Mark?
Yes. Also, it came to our attention that there was an item that was actually left over from last month. Thank you, Ms. Sullivan, for picking that one out. I think that was 179. So let me move items 176 through 206, excluding 179.
We did 179 before. Okay. We have a second?
Second.
Second by Donna. Any discussion on the items? Any discussion on 176 through 206, excluding 179?
I have a discussion on something that's not on here. I guess I'm confused as to why it's not on here. And I know the Facilities and Finance Committee discussed the stipends for the Lebanon Borough Agreement.
That's in personnel.
Right, but we had multiple agreements. We had multiple communications of the Facilities and Finance Committee hashing this out. And I'm confused as to why it got moved. I mean, I was under the impression that we were making this decision on the resolution and language, whatever we wanted to do. And now I don't see it on the Facilities Finance Committee. It's moved. I'm just curious as to why, if I can have an explanation on it, because I mean, my fellow committee members will acknowledge that we did discuss it in length, back and forth, and we had some concerns, and I'm just curious as to why it got shifted.
Probably it was supposed to be there in the first place, since it's an issue dealing with payment of employees. I guess I don't know if that is.
It belongs.
Well,
to
yeah, but we it's still
well, it affects
finance. I mean, it's, we're
right.
still financially paid. You know, it's still
of course.
Dollars that were.
Certainly, it's of interest to both committees. But just as a matter of process, I believe any approval of actual payment to employees is generally approved. On
so what was all this back and forth communications on the Facilities Finance Committee seeking
well,
resolution?
Motion,
seeking was it an error that we were communicated with, or was it, I'm trying to realize.
No, it affects finance as well, and I believe if you read the motion, it reflects the last motion that we discussed with Pat, and it is there verbatim as we discussed. It's just going to be voted on under
What was
under
the,
there, but it's.
Was it, was Mr. Per- Kaplan, that's the discussion initiated in finance facilities with a board member? And
yes, it
yes,
was.
Yes, it was. Yes, we had an extensive discussion. It actually
it was back
I mean,
and forth. Now I don't see it, and I'm confused. I mean, was personnel negotiations brought into this? I don't know. I mean, it looks like it was shifted.
Yeah, it's a good point. We discussed.
It's a valid point, Mark. It's more than a good point.
What?
It's a valid point.
Yeah, no, I didn't finish my sentence. We discussed it extensively in Facilities and Finance Committee. The committee hashed this over for, I guess, about a week or so. I don't know when the transfer was made. I don't know, maybe Pat.
There was no transfer.
Was it always intended to be there?
I believe that we discussed it in personnel negotiations. There was nothing nefarious here.
No, I don't think it was
No, no, I'm not. I'm just confused as to why we're not.
It would under personnel negotiations. You haven't been here before, so you wouldn't know that, but that is where that kind of thing goes. The same way we pay anybody, that goes under personnel negotiations.
All right, I'm just curious why it was initiated with our committee, like Kevin said, Kevin Carroll, not Sturgis. And, you know, he guessed what was initiated. Well, that's a fair question.
Yeah, it's a good
point. It didn't initiate it with us, and I'm just confused as to why it.
It's related to both. It's related to the
It's related to both. And I think in one of the emails to the committee, I think I actually said, maybe this should be handled by the personnel committee.
At the very end, when it seemed we had some differences of opinion, perhaps.
Right, but I think I did say that, hey, maybe this is more of a personnel issue because it inflects pay, so.
I'm just asking a question. I'm just curious.
Right, well,
I think it's a fair point.
It belongs in both committees. The issues involve really both committees, so I don't think there's any problem with two committees discussing something. In my report, I'll report out our committee's discussion as well, so.
Again, could two committees get together
if two
committees are involved, you can't have that, right?
No,
okay.
Right.
Here we are.
So the bottom line is
here we are.
Right. So how do you distinguish if one committee is talking about it and then we were talking about it? Where does the communication come in that we're learning what they were talking about, they're learning what we were talking about, it comes out tonight?
Yeah. That's right, at the board meeting.
Okay.
All right, so then when do we discuss the merits of that discussion, now or?
Well, it's under, isn't it under personnel?
It is.
We'll discuss it when we get to personnel.
Okay, thank you.
A question on 179, Pat. Did we move this motion back in May, the same motion?
That's the one that we just said was a duplicate.
Yeah.
We just said that, Kevin.
We did.
That's why we excluded it.
Okay.
We just said that.
I'm sorry.
This motion is 176 to 206, excluding 179.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Michelle pointed out that this was actually left over from last week. We already voted on it.
On the 180? What is the disparity in salaries there? Like the first employee is 33, the second employee is 10-4.
The first employee, he's been here a while, is full-time. 10-497 is basically probably like a second-year part-time TA. 10-297 is a first-year part-time TA. So it's twofold. You know, TAs have a salary guide also. I don't know if you've ever looked at it in the CTA contract. So there are even people what they call the OG2, which is off-guide 2. So those salaries are substantially higher than a TA step 1.
So is it accurate to say that 9 of these TAs on this motion are part-time and the balance are full-time?
How many are part-time?
9.
Just counting quickly, that is probably 10, what I came up with.
10,000 below are in part-time, right? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
8. Are there 20 altogether?
21. 19.
Mm-hmm. And then there's one at 14. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I'm suspecting that that's somebody that came in the middle of the year. But I don't know without having my data in front of me, Mr. Sturgis. I don't really know. I mean, but it's probably fair to say it's about 12-9 split, just looking at it quickly.
All right. And I saw initially the action item in personal negotiations. We were hiring 2 additional part-time. And now looking at the salaries here, I see 9 part-time. I'd like to have that discussion, what's going on and what happened to the direction we had given with regard to this practice.
Mr. President, would you like me to reference that now or when it comes up in personnel?
Well, all right, let me make sure I understand this. Item 180 is just how the funds are allocated. Is that correct?
That is, Mr. Dinkoff.
So, whether or not they're full-time or part-time, I think is more appropriate under personnel. This is just how the funds would be allocated, whether they would be.
And this is from the year that concluded.
Pardon?
This is the year that's over.
So I think that discussion, Kevin, is more appropriate under personnel.
And the question the member of the public brought up about some of these people who are resigning later in the agreement, this is a funding vehicle.
Yes.
Okay.
And what we've done in the past is we've kind of done it ahead of time. The TA positions have a fair amount of mobility. A lot of
because changes in the IEP, or we utilize a lot of our TAs as maternity leave replacements or medical leave replacements. So it's easier to reconcile at the end of the year, Mr. Sturgis.
And what does the 2,500 signify in the third column of the spreadsheet?
Department number. It's internal.
Okay. On 183, the 45 laptops, this has not come up in committee, I don't believe, has it, Mark?
No, it is in the budget. It was in the budget.
Okay.
And I did verify, went back today, in fact, because I couldn't remember where it was in the budget.
Okay.
And did find it. As 183?
I'm sorry,
183? 183 and 184, which are the technology purchases. The first one's for staff, and the second one, 184, are the student cards. And, yes, those were all budgeted.
Okay, 204.
Yes.
My thought on this contract is I just would have liked to have had a discussion about it before we put it on to renew. You know, I have some anecdotal feedback about the service, but they're one of our most substantial vendors, I would argue. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I would like to see come up in a committee meeting to right. discuss and solicit feedback before it shows up on an agenda.
Right. I will say that not this year, last year, there was extensive discussion because mm-hmm. I was frankly pushing us to basically make the menu far healthier. I'm not particularly happy with what we feed our kids. It wasn't a financial issue, it was a nutritional issue. What happened is when we went out for bid, basically nobody else bid on it. There seems to be some, I don't know what the issue is out there in this competitive marketplace, but nobody else in the end submitted a bid to the school, so it appears that nobody else is interested in our business. I don't know why that happened. But
well, yeah, that would be something we could discuss,
yes.
Why did that happen?
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen. That's kind of unusual.
It was very strange. We were kind of surprised, and we ended up by default having
it's actually not unusual here in Hunterdon County. Sorry. Here in Hunterdon County, it's not really unusual. We don't have the, what's a big district, Parsippany or Piscataway. So, and we're limited. What happens is the state comes out with a list, for those of you who remember this, I apologize for the repeat, but the state comes out with a list and said, these are the approved food service management companies, and these are the ones that are approved in your county. So, and I sent to everyone who was approved in Hunterdon County.
I understand, but the method of how we solicit proposals we've talked about before.
They have to come back to me and deny. So it wasn't like it fell under the radar. Part of the DL, Department of Agriculture, part of the Department of Agriculture, the process is extremely strict. And I did think we were going to have somebody else because somebody else came for the walkthrough of our facilities. So I was hopeful that the other company, which I can say was Sodexo, I was hopeful they were going to come. And the day before the bids were due, Sodexo gave what I would call a declination letter, declining.
And what happened, part of that, Mr. Sturgis, is that we try to engage our colleagues in other districts and say, where are you at with your food program? Would you like to come with us? And what we started with, 7? Did we get as high as that, Pat?
No, 4.
People?
4.
And then they slowly backed out of it, so economy of scale, nobody wanted to play with us. So when looking ahead, trying to go out again, is anybody interested? Again, they're not interested this year. But we're hoping with some of the legislation coming out that the powers of the county executive superintendent will help us help others to come out and play with us next time. So we're really in a bind.
And I don't know that the result would have been any different. I just think a vendor this large, and they're the food service vendor that feeds the kids in the district, they're not under contract. It's a 1 year, year to year. I think it would have been appropriate to discuss the contract before it was up to vote to renew for another year.
Point.
And then
absolutely,
it might have not changed. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It may have not changed. We may have decided the environment was such that it's best to stick with the vendor.
And to Mrs. Lenhart's credit, she did that to reach out to our colleagues again and say, hey, you know, we're looking again. Are you looking? And nobody. So without that, and the fact that we'd been burned once before. Instead of moving that all out, we decided we'll wait everyone out and wait for the powers that be to help us kind of push this issue.
Or maybe take the opportunity to get feedback. I don't know if everyone's happy with the service or not. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe tweak the contract before the renewal, mm-hmm. saying you're doing okay, we have some concerns in this area and that area. You know, we want you to concentrate on the type of foods or the speed of the service or the number of lunch periods that are being held in each school. And bake that into their contract for renewal. In the future, I would just I would just ask that
contracts
of this type.
Well, are we in a position to do that now? Like, we don't have a signed agreement with them now, do we? I mean, we can still go back perhaps and address some of the concerns that maybe are occurring in some of the schools and do that now?
Yeah, I don't see why not approving the contract, though, has to be material to having that conversation. If you think that they wouldn't listen as much if before a renewal, I'm not really sure that's the case.
They might have performance metrics in the contract. When is this due to be renewed? When does the contract expire?
Well, it's a school year contract, Mr. Serta, so, you know, it's not going to become functional until school year. Of course, they need to staff, et cetera. You know, we can't have it on the August whatever agenda.
Are you looking for further discussion? Is that what?
I was just, you know, looking for feedback from the board. It's just something I noted. It's the major vendor. It just seems like a large contract to renew with.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I saw it, but having gotten burned last year, I don't know how many times this came up. I gave up this year because I knew we weren't going to get any other vendors. And I said I was pushing on the nutrition because I was just appalled by what they serve. But, which, by the way, is pretty much from what I know, what everybody serves in the schools, but that in itself doesn't make it acceptable. But nobody was interested in the business, so I certainly didn't see any reason to pursue it.
So we put out RFPs this year as well?
No, we did not.
It's really not something you normally do every year. I mean, it's something you do. By law, you only have to do it every 5 years. It's a base one plus four ones, base 1 year contract, and you can do 4 1-year renewals. I'm not saying you have to do it every 5 years, but I'm not sure. If the board really wants us, we'll do it, but I'm not sure it's a good use of our resources to do it every year. We did it just last year. Nobody else was interested. It wasn't like, wow, it was a close call and somebody will
I just heard feedback from one of my kids' schools that there were lunch periods being added because it was taking too long for the kids to eat lunch. I don't know if that is a valid complaint or not. But
that has nothing to do with Masha's. That's a principal-driven decision. There are two schools thinking of changing their lunch periods for next year. But that impetus is coming from the principals, not
Masha's. There's nothing to do with the food service vendor?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, my concern was that there was going to be increased labor costs, because that's just a flow through. You know, we pay it in the end. And on the one school that really said, yes, I want to do it, I reached out to Masha's and they said there will not be an increased cost. The second school said, we're not there yet. We haven't made our decision 100%, so don't reach out to Masha's till I make sure we're there.
Do we have any process actually to collect feedback, you know, from the students or anything?
Each school has to have, they used to call my private district a YAC, a Youth Advisory Council, but on that has to be students and parents. That's done within each school. It's a required function of the food service management company.
Okay.
I mean, that's arbitrary, I'll agree. It's subjective.
Yeah, and I'm not sure actually about the kids actually picking the menu. At least take into account my consideration, which is...
Maybe not picking the menu, but we do get feedback from the children that way about the portion sizes of certain meals, that there isn't enough food with certain choices, that's good information that comes back from that.
The other feedback that I can clearly see it when I'm in PMG and Spruce Run is, and my children will say it to me, Mom, I can't get my food in enough time to eat it. And so I only get to eat half of it because the lines are so long.
We're trying to address it. Those are the two schools. Spruce Run is definitely modifying their lunch schedule. PMG is under consideration.
Why are we modifying? I mean, can't we just change the process as opposed to now making a complex day schedule, which limits the flexibility of what they may be able to do or want to do during the day? I mean, if we're going to go to four lunch periods at PMG and two at Spruce, that starts to put constraints on what we can do with the day. If the principals need to change structure and how they're delivering certain things, isn't adding, changing a process or maybe adding a cashier or doing something else, doesn't that easily fix the process without making the day more complex, you know, for the kids, the teachers, and principals?
But it doesn't really change the day for the individual student or even the class, because they still get a lunch and a special. So it really wouldn't be any change. As far as the staffing, the teachers on duty, it would be the teacher whose child is at lunch or specials, so on. So I don't see that there's a material impact on an individual student. The true impact is on the principal, who's requested, I would like some more time to get my children to flow through and possibly even cut down the number of children that I have at lunch and recess, so it's more manageable for my staff.
Is it just volume? It's, to me, it seems like it's a volume-driven thing.
if it's a matter of how many students are actually interested in buying lunch, that's a good volume then for our vendor and for us, because that's what we want our students to do, to have a healthy lunch. And hopefully that's what we're able to offer them. But as far as the schedule, I don't think there would be impact on an individual child.
What are you suggesting, Ms. Grant, that they have more lines simultaneously or something? Well, I guess it's possible, but then the question is, can they cook the food fast enough? I mean, I guess we'd have to do
like
a study,
pizza
right?
Pizza Day, right? Pizza Day, they don't cook the pizza there.
Right, but all the other days, I mean, they're heating stuff.
Pizza Day's the worst.
Is that the worst?
It's clearly the worst day, because I don't know what the numbers are, but if there's 100 kids buying, 100 kids buy pizza. You know, I mean, it's that much more. So to me, it just seems like volume issues, things that kids can't get through fast enough, and they're not having enough time to eat. Mm-hmm. And then if they do have enough time to eat, so if you're lucky and you get on the line first, okay, the portions are small as well. And so the feedback I'm getting from my kids and their friends and whatever is, I'm hungry after lunch. And so, you know, this is just feedback I want to share with you to see if, you know, maybe we do a little bit more research to see if that's the case. And then if we have to put things in process to fix it, then let's fix it for the kids, because that's, food's important for them.
Having the other sort of triplets, I can concur with that. That's true.
Yeah.
Should this be something that we bring up? I don't know which committee. Would it be Facilities and Finance that would pick something like this up and say, hey, we want to make a few changes with what we're asking Maschio's to provide? Because we're kind of stuck with them for this year, since there's no time to do another.
Yeah, we may be stuck.
Well, as far
with
as the scheduling goes, I believe that is normally under the purview of the principal. I mean, they run their buildings. They're actively involved in the conversations. I know I, from the business office, can't tell them, wouldn't want to tell them how to run their lunch period. That's what they do.
Right. And if it's portions issues, then I think that has to go back.
We can discuss portion issues. You know, that is sort of regulated by the government, too, on different sizes for your elementaries and your middle schools.
Right. We have we have all kinds of nutritional information from them. Every meal is documented exactly. How many calories, how much fat, how much salt, how much this and that. I don't know if it's regulated.
Well, and really, it's based on a full meal, and I know that some of the students don't choose to take every option.
You mean they take the pizza and they don't eat the salad?
Possibly not, sir. No.
Sometimes.
I can't believe it.
I do want to mention at this time, and I know it's not our motivation, I understand that, but we are taking our profit from about $7,000 to about $22,000 this year.
Okay,
I know that's not our motivation, but it's a nice side effect.
Right. As I said, though, earlier when we had the discussion, I don't want to look at the food service as a profit center. I'd rather we focus on, since we teach the kids all about nutrition and other stuff, I'd rather we focus on serving healthy meals, even if we don't make a profit on it. That's my personal opinion. Others may have a different opinion, but I really
would
like to.
Well, to that, Mark, I know that some of the discussions coming out that was shared with me from the principals with the youth advisory committees was that children didn't understand the brown bread, which is whole wheat, and other aspects which were nutritionally sound, but they didn't recognize. So we knew that there was an idea that maybe we could use it as a teachable moment, why the bread was brown, and so on. And I know moving forward, with the help of the PE health teachers and the classroom teachers, we're going to try to hit those things.
So that sounds like we might have a little curriculum issue there, right? I mean, in health, they should be learning that stuff.
Brown bread is good, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Any other items that we need to discuss under facilities and finance? Go ahead, Michelle.
Item number 183, regarding the staff laptops. Is this replacing the ones that were going obsolete?
This is actually a kind of a rollout where we will replace theirs, and then these will be repurposed where necessary, where possible, given their life expectancy, so that we will be able to create more laptop cards or more availability across the district. So anything that we're bringing in for the teachers, so they can have the latest to help them do their job, we're gonna repurpose anything that is still viable. That's part of the rollout that has been planned.
Because I just remember in earlier discussions this year that some of the computers that were purchased, the older computers were becoming obsolete or they couldn't be tracked any longer.
Right, and when they hit that fifth year, we no longer can count them towards the state guidelines and reporting, but they're still usable.
Absolutely. Okay.
Mark, I have a question for you. Can you shed some light on what the plan is for radon testing to get us up to speed on the ARERA documentation for asbestos at PMG?
That's all on the, I don't have a report. Did everybody get the Brinkhoff? Are you talking about the Brinkhoff proposal, or?
I don't.
What are you referring to?
Are you talking about the AHARA report at the end?
No, well, specifically the radon, when are we going to do it, and who's going to do it, and the extent of it?
Well, the radon is the Brinkhoff.
The approval is tonight.
Did you get this?
I don't think I got that.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
Why I'm
I mean, we went back to Brinkhoff and asked them to extend to do all four mm-hmm. schools, and that's on there, I think.
And as they presented to us, this grant, they subcontract that to a licensed outfit that will do that.
All right, so they're doing a drinking water test, radon tests, and so forth, soil investigation.
When's the radon going to take place?
I don't know. Do we have an actual date?
Well, they were pending tonight's approval,
so I'll call them
tomorrow.
I just want to make sure the radon testing isn't supposed to be done until November, from November to March. That's a weather-dependent and a dependent kind of test, and I've been on the phone with the DEP's radon group for schools specifically. There's a whole bunch of guidelines we need to make sure that we follow with this particular type of radon testing in the school, so that's why I was asking if...
I don't think Brinkhoff mentioned that, but I mean, we can certainly go back to that.
I don't remember reading that.
Because we're sorting pulled in two directions here, because we certainly have community members who would not like to see us delay till November. If the test is ineffective, however,
yeah, the guy told me specifically today it's ineffective until November.
I think we ought to get a second opinion on that, maybe, because most people do radon, at least in homes, you know, often
in
through
the
seasons, because it tends to change. It can change, you know, over the season and so forth. But I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not my area of expertise, but I guess we should look into that.
I can give you his number if you want to chat with him.
Okay, and I guess we'll have to then discuss with Brinkhoff how to schedule it.
We haven't met as an environmental ad hoc committee quite a while, and a lot has changed since we last met.
Maybe it's time.
I think it's time to reconvene that group.
And maybe that group should, I mean, this comes up here because it's, you know, facilities and finance, but there is an ad hoc committee. I'm not even on that. Maybe you guys want to follow up on this and then report.
Mr. Sturgis, I could put that together and put out dates that are available to the group. When I can get a majority, we can meet.
Is that a subcommittee of facilities and finance? What is that?
There's an ad hoc committee. It's not actually,
What board members besides you, Kevin?
It was a fourth, right?
I was a
community member at the time. It was
Grace. Jody.
Jody.
And Mr. Shadle.
And so now it's three and Grace, and Marina was on as a community member.
All right, so you'll just continue as a board member then.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark, would you have time?
Yeah, why not?
I actually squeezed it in to get on that committee.
That's so right. Kevin.
The deal was that I would relieve him of that, so I took that over.
I could. If somebody else can do it, it'd be better. I'm a little up to my ears, but between the solar and the land
Mark?
Across the street and everything else.
My wife's on. I don't want to have Laura's on.
Maybe
the
we need another community.
So I, you know, I don't want to have too much nepotism
member?
On no, there.
All right, we'll get a community.
I don't think
member.
We need another board.
My wife's doing an admirable job. She's good.
Three's enough. Okay. I agree.
You don't want to go to a meeting with your wife, Mark? Is that where they're?
We have meetings right here.
Sorry. Do we have any other items we need to discuss on facilities and finance?
A couple quick questions.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Item 176. We have a bill for the Star Ledger for the anticipated openings ad. And I'm sorry I didn't have time to bring this up ahead of time. We had talked about this was not something that we wanted to continue doing, advertising through the Star Ledger, because of their cost. Could you give a little more detail about what this ad was about and if it's something that we're going to be doing on any kind of a more regular basis?
Was this for the career fair?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't for specific openings?
It was for multiple positions.
Okay.
We try not to place ads, but sometimes your back's kind of against the wall, because that really does have a largest distributorship. It gets you on newjersey.com.
Okay. My next question was for item 201, transferring interest earnings to tax relief.
Yes.
Do we have a ballpark amount of how much that is? I couldn't piece that out from the...
Not without looking at it offhand, no.
Okay. Can we report back on that at the next board meeting? Thank you. And then the last one was 203. Let's see. That was for the insurance fund. Is there any cost associated with joining this?
Absolutely not. It's okay. Kind of like a group purchasing, cooperative purchasing type thing. You get together and...
Okay, thank you.
We ready to take a vote? Not yet.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
one more
Maria.
Question, 205. I see RK Occupational Environmental. We have here to work with the ARERA, however you say that.
I have.
Do they need specific certification to work in schools to do that as well?
They're authorized to do it. And I
in schools?
Yes. I checked three different companies, RAM, Rulo and Gleason. It's either Rulo and Gleason or Rulo and Juliet. They've switched. And RK. And in our district, we only have to do a HERA on two of the four schools.
I'm sorry?
And in our school, we only have to do a HERA in two of our four schools.
Yes.
We have a roll call vote on items 176 to 206, excluding 179.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
No on 182, no on 184. I abstain on 200, yes to everything else.
Ms. Grant?
No on 182, no on 184. Sorry. And yes on the rest.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Helfig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
No on 182. Yes on the rest.
Ms. Sullivan?
No on 182 and 184, yes on the rest.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes, on all of them.
Well, all the motions pass.